number 63, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Amen.
Number 63.
Yeah.
favorite, so we'll sing it.
Brother Siebold, we're ready to have you come and preach then. Church this morning. That's good. Rather be here than in the hospital. Amen. Now, just for a few moments, something is different in appearance of the sanctuary area, the piano, choir loft up here. At least in my eyes, it looks different. Does it look different? The shadow effect up there? Did anybody change light bulbs? Maybe I'm dreaming. But it definitely, to my eye, when I sat down there, I said, it's got to be saying something. And I couldn't figure out what it says. Every Saturday night, I send out about 200 texts to the preachers in the Northeast. And my wife types it out. I give her what I want to say. I write it out. And you try and make something out of something. You follow what I'm saying? Just a little something. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to ask for your help because I can't make too much. Do you see the shadow? We'll start with that. Do you see a shadow up there? How many are blind? Get your glasses on, okay? You can borrow mine. I got a couple sets. So I see a shadow there and an arch there, okay? See, the sign up there says, let your light so shine before men. So what does that say, if anything, to anybody?
Angel's wings.
Excuse me? Nice and loud.
Angel's wings.
Angel's wings. All right, good. Would you like to go stand in the middle of that and go floop? It does. It has. Unfortunately, the angel's wings, good. Anybody else? Come on now. Could it?
We need better lighting.
You need better lighting. No. That's not what it says. It's very, very soft, very proper. How about the tablets that Moses could be? Anyone else? I don't have the answer to this. Okay, I'm seriously. I'm just trying to see. Yes. Okay. Good. Parting of the Red Sea. That's stretching it a little bit, but that's okay. Anyway, any purpose in that? Absolutely none. So it is good. I see what you see. Take your Bibles, turn to the Psalms. Psalm 85 or thereabouts. Psalm 85, if you would, please. One of the interesting parts of our ministry now, after being in the same church for 38 years, that's a lot of time, and that's a lot of messages and so forth and so on. You can be a little bit more systematic. When I'm in a place here and then a place there and a place over yonder here, it's just erratic. It just, you know. And my wife does an excellent job of keeping notes on what I preached here the last time. And then the last time before the last time. And then the last time, she's got every message in the mark down. And we save the notes and all that kind of stuff. So we have some idea. But it's hard to keep I preached about this. And, you know, like a series of messages. So you get what they call a shotgun type of approach. You just pull the trigger and those pellets go out wherever they go. And hopefully they land someplace where God would have them to be. And but when you're standing in the same pulpit, week after week and month after month and year after year, you can build, makes it a little bit easier to build that way. And so if you're not used to this sporadic type of preaching, I apologize. Okay, I hope I've covered something somewhere along the way with those pellets. I'm not used to shotguns, but they put a little thing in there like that, and it's filled with pellets. And if you're not a good shot, that's what you want to use, because those pellets will go all over. No bench will get something. Yeah. And my mother used to hate it because I had a neighbor who would go rabbit hunting, and he used the shotgun, I guess. And he would get something, but he'd give it to my mother to clean and cook. And she'd have to pick out all those pellets, I guess. She wasn't a cursing lady, but she wanted to throw that rabbit out the window. Psalm 85, and let's just look at a couple of verses this morning. Lord, thou hast been my favor unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Isn't that good? God forgives us. And I think in humanity, friend with friend, husband with wife, and so forth, we ought to be willing to forgive. We ought to have that willingness already stored up for somebody who wants it and needs it, and you can do that. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Have y'all remember way back yonder when you were a little squirt? I mean, that's way back yonder, a long time back, okay? And you did something. You knew you were going to get snagged for, caught for, and whatever. And you knew there was punishment coming ahead of time. And you didn't know how to pray, but that time you started to learn how to pray. That you would not get snagged, you would not get reprimanded, and just to get out of that. Sometimes for young people, it would be good for young people to go to those that they transgressed against ahead of time. Mommy, you don't know this, but I ate all the cookies out of the cookie jar. And you got the chocolate across your face and so forth. And Mommy knew that. But it is good for us to go to God beforehand. Don't wait for him to put his chastising hand on us. It is good to confess our faults and our sins one to another. If we sit here this morning, stand here this morning thinking that we are angelic, last time I checked my jacket, it had no slots for my wings. And so if you want to turn around, gentlemen, we'll check yours. I know you got that little, what is that bone called back yonder up there, but it's not really to make you fly. And so God's good. Verse number 5. Let's go to verse number 6. Wilt thou receive us again? Revive us, I'm sorry. Wilt thou revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Wilt thou not revive us again? My thought for this morning is revive us again. The songwriter said, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. It's good to be rekindled. It's good to be revived. It's good to have God speak to our hearts. You run through series, seasons, if you would, of serving God. I think in marriage, sometimes we lose a little bit where we have neglected our relationship. I've told you once, I've told you a dozen times, but Ma and I have been married for 54 years. I got it right today, okay? It's been 54 years. I've been wrong more than once. But anyway, we've been married for 54 years. And it is an anniversary time. And when it's an anniversary time, it's kind of like a revival. And we need to ask God to revive us again. Would you not revive us again? Well, how many times? How many times? And sometimes we've been away on an anniversary time, and we wait until you get back home or celebrate an anniversary. I kind of like it all the time. This church and churches like this one and churches in the what I call the northeast part of this country need to be revived and stay revived. One of the hard things is that you've done something before. I was looking at your track table back yonder there. I hope you noticed it. Somebody's been revived. Something's been revived. Now, we just can't keep those tracks on the table. I know it's economic. If you don't have to buy the tracks, you're saving money. But that's not the purpose of the tracks. And so I would encourage you to, as they say, leave your tracks behind you. Amen. Yesterday, we ate in Cracker Barrel. Walked in, the lady came over to our table, and she knew what I was eating, and she knew what I was going to drink. And we're a long ways from home. But because we had left there that lighthouse picture, and I ran out of time, I quickly drew another one. And she said, we got one of them hanging up in the kitchen, and now we've got another one to hang up in the kitchen. So leaving your tracks behind pays off. The family that we stayed with, we've been privileged to live the last 5 years in a home on a 5-acre piece of property, a driveway coming down there. It's about a quarter of a mile long, and it was real nice and so forth. No rent, no electric bill, no mortgage payments, nothing else. We just had our subterranean apartment, and God took care of it all. Well, the man who owned the house, good spiritual man, was moved back to Texas. He had a job here. You're not in Jersey, but he had a job in Jersey. And he made the, I think I told you this before, but he made a wrong comment. You know, there are some things you can say and some things you can't say. You know what persecution is? If you are a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating, Baptist individual, you know, you can do fine real in here. But if you're out in the marketplace and you make some comments about somebody else, even to the fact that you're going to indicate that they're a sinner, you're going to be potentially facing some type of legal action against you. So he was in the workplace, and he was not down here in the rank and file, but he was up yonder here. I mean, way up yonder, okay? But he made a comment. And whoever received the comment, heard the comment, was maybe not even involved in the comment, brought allegations against him to say on Wednesday. And on Thursday, he was looking for a job. We need to come back where we can speak freely about the Lord. Our youngsters in growing up, when I was in school, many of you were at liberty to talk about the Lord, what you did in Sunday school class yesterday, so forth and so on, and pray. And you said, well, it wasn't like a Baptist church service. It wasn't. No. But it was the Word of God getting into the hearts of those people that were sitting there. We had a stronger Christian nation back then than we ever did now. So we've got to get that word out. We need to have revival. We need to be revived again. You say, well, that was, you know, we have that scheduled. Some churches will schedule it for a certain week. How many when revival ran for 2 weeks? Anybody remember? Can you kind of, if you can't get your arm up, do one of them, okay? Yes, got your eye on, okay? Revival would run for 2 weeks. And if it was doing well, sometimes they would stretch it out for another week. But today, revivals in the greater metropolitan, I don't know this metropolitan, but the greater Northeast, if you have a 3-day meeting, that's pretty good. Maybe a 5-day meeting, maybe, you know, and we've lost the concept of staying revived. I've mentioned this place, and I've mentioned this comment to you before, but when we're traveling around, we mention this place. It's not because you don't need revival, but the revival that you've experienced, you need to keep it going. Can you talk to me that way? Sign language? Okay, you're very proficient in sign language, okay? You need to keep that going. We were joking around with the songs and the motions to those songs. We don't want those motions to terminate when we terminate. Okay? We'll take those motions with us to heaven, but we want to leave those motions down here. You say, well, that's kid stuff. That's all right. I'm a kid at heart, right? And so we need that. We travel enough, we see enough, we hear enough that we recognize that we need to be revived again. Make it like new. Make it like new. You were mentioning about you knew the motions. You learned them. It was new. Guess what I learned? Hey, you know. And hey. I don't know. Just don't seem so exciting anymore. Well, I think it is exciting. I think God thinks it's exciting. And I think they play a basketball game. They play a football game. Everybody's exciting. I mean, they'll have 50,000 people going out of their minds because somebody threw a pigskin, a dead pig across a goalpost or something else like that. But we need to be that excited. And I've enjoyed the dynamics that God has placed in this place. But you can't lose it. You can't lose it. We need to stay revived. Here, the psalmist is saying, revive us again. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Ain't God good to give you so many blessings? Undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank him. Songwriter said, love and praise him a little more today. And what? A whole lot more tomorrow. God was good today. God will be good tomorrow. And we need to be thanking him for that. But my observation has been we've been neglectful. I've patted you on the back for just a few seconds. Okay? Everybody needs a pat on the back. Often enough, hard enough, and low enough every once in a while. That went over your head. Everybody needs a pat on the back. You got it? Okay, and hard enough. And you got it. If you need a further explanation, I will not give it. We'll pass on. But we have neglected as a Christian nation. If you read of recent events, the Christian nation title can be eradicated. They do not want any longer to refer to the USA as a Christian nation. And we're a group of people, you're a group of people sitting right here saying, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Those tracts, and I'm going to mention again, but those tracts need to be confiscated from off the table in the back and into your possession. That may not be the right use of the word confiscated, but you need to take some of those and get them out of the sanctuary, into the marketplace. Amen? Boy, that was exciting. Amen? Amen, amen, and amen. Yeah, we need to get them out. And be bold in doing it. Just be as bold as you possibly can be. And I think God will continue to honor that concept. Revive us again. You know, things don't do so well in the wintertime. How many of you like on January the 15th go out in your garden and pull weeds? We just don't get excited about doing that. Come May 15th, you might be a little bit excited about breaking up the ground and get it planted. And so when it's cold, we don't always participate and we neglect what we shouldn't be neglecting. I say as a church, we can't afford to get cold. We need to keep the fires burning. We need to keep the preaching hot. We need to keep the fellowship sweet. We need to keep it moving. It's got to stay. We've got to stoke the fire every once in a while. And I think because of neglect, we're hurting in this nation. And some of you remember folks from previous generations with revival. Billy Sunday, revival. Now, he may not have been the same stripe. He may not have carried the same, whatever. But he was pointing people in the right direction. Ye must be born again. Now, when we get cold, things are not as exciting. You know, washing the windows from the outside. I wouldn't be excited about washing windows tomorrow. It's a little chilly out there. Now, it's a little warmer than it's been, but it's still a little bit chilly out there. But they still need to be washed. And we cannot, because of the coldness of the past generation or two or three, or the coldness, we need to come and be on fire. And this place has warmth in it. Not because somebody turned the thermostat up at 5 o'clock this morning or whatever, but it's the warmth. I mentioned to you about the church in England where they, New England, where they came with the bricks to church and nobody turned the heat on, but they carried the bricks and they carried the bricks in some type of bag, but not going to let the heat out until you get to church. When you get to church, then you open up the bag and, everybody has bricks, so everybody's warm. But if you didn't come today, only this side would be warm, this side would be cold. But Ma's sitting back there, and she came today. Now she's on the cold side, and that's because you didn't bring your bricks, so they didn't come, and so forth and so on. So in our church, we need to be hot and on fire for God. My thought was, we have neglected things that God would have us. And we become cold as a people. And I'm not throwing stones at you per se, but we as a Christian people have become colder. Would you not agree with me on that? You don't have to agree. But would you basically say that we have become colder? We ought to get excited when we see another Christian somewhere. Somehow, some way, show some excitement about it. One problem is being in so many places, you forget what you told these people and you didn't say to these people. But I tell you about ShopRite and the man on the aisle down yonder praising God. And I said, I was in ShopRite going up and down the aisles. My wife said, I told you this story before. She's probably the only one that remembers. Anyway, I'm going down the aisle and I were on the other aisle. I hear somebody praising God. I said, I'm going to get on this. This is ShopRite. This is revival in ShopRite. And so I went over into that aisle, and this fellow about that big, and he's talking to a little lady over there, and he's telling her how good God was and how great he was, and he understood the girl's pain and so forth and so on. I'm just standing there. He said, Mister, give me your hand. He said, nobody knows how much this hurts except this man and God. So he took my hand, and he started squeezing it, okay? And he squeezed it some more. And I think he was doing one of these things that you squeeze back and forth, because he was using my hand for that. And he said, nobody knows how much this hurts except this man and God. I said, let me convince you, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. We need to be sensitive to the fact people are hurting around us. We need to get out and let and help people with the word of God. It's good to know this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. And we've got a place lined up. No matter how many pills we take, no matter how many vitamins we swallow, God's going to call you home one day. Amen? Amen. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's so wonderful, bright and fair. What? Praise the Lord. I'm going there. I'll be there forever. Can't wait. Going to leave never. Amen. Heaven's so wonderful, bright and fair. Revive us again. One of the things that dampens our Christianity is neglect of the Bible. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. We're going to flip through. We're not going to have a sword deal, but we're going to go through a couple verses this morning. Revive us again. Make us like new. Make us like new. You say, well, I used to. When I first got saved, I had hair to comb. When I got saved, they didn't like my hairstyle. They said, you need to get a haircut. You know, everybody, revive us again. Neglect. When things get cold, things are neglected. When things are warm outside and warm inside the church, things can be accomplished. I think there's been a period of time where the Bible has been neglected. Help me out. What might contribute to a nation neglecting the Bible? I'm not sure I have an answer for that, so help me out. What might be a contributing factor to a group of people neglecting the Bible? Yes?
They get away from it and go their own way.
Okay. They get away from it and they start going their own way. Good. Yes?
They took it out of the schools.
They took it out of the schools. They were saying it's no longer of importance to the culture, so let's just take it out of the school. And a few people initiated that, and a few people got on it. And do you think it could ever be brought back in? Okay. Universal answer is no. I'm not sure I'm going to give you 100% on that. I'm not sure. If we're praying for revival and in faith believing, could it not happen? Could it not happen? That's right. And we neglected it. We took it for granted as a nation that it was always going to be a Christian school. We are a Christian nation. It was taken for granted. We're always a Christian nation. But we neglected that. And with neglect, it gets cold. I'm glad that when we went to school, it was not a Christian school, quote unquote. It was a public school. But there's nothing wrong with having the Word of God in a public school.
Amen.
Right is never wrong. And it's never wrong to be taught. Right is never wrong to be taught in an educational institution. There's only one book. It's called the Bible. And we need to push it back, put it back, bring it back into the school. We neglected the Bible. Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We, as a culture, need to bring the Bible back. Okay? Help me out. How can we bring it back? Okay? Got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in a public school? Maybe you go to a parent-teacher's program. Maybe you wanted to have a Christmas program. And you got grandchildren. And so forth. Hey, somebody needs to speak out for the exposure of people to the Word of God, to the truths that are in God's Word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And we used to sing that little song, read your Bible, pray every day. You all know that? I would think if we had grandchildren, I would want them to walk to school singing, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And let them sing it. You think the students in the public school system only sing? What do they sing? They sing, I don't know exactly how to phrase it, but they sing ungodly music. Huh? They sing garbage, okay? But they sing ungodly. So something has God, something doesn't have God. So would they not be at liberty to choose one or the other? As you say, the garbage. We need to somehow be creative in getting the Word of God back in. Yes, ma'am. I put the garbage out. Put the garbage out. We're in a desperate place because we have stopped putting the garbage out. We neglected the Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. We have backed off. You know that phrase, fighting fundamentalists? Is that acceptable? Can we be? No, not anymore. We can't be fighting fundamentalists. Contentious. Arrogant. Whatever. We need to be standing. If somebody tells you, just because somebody says you can't do it, doesn't mean you can't do it. In the marketplace, sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Somehow, some way, the Word of God. That's why I point to those tracks in the back. They're back there for show, or they're back there to be taken and given out, right? And you don't have to be bold. You just leave it on the table, leave a few dollars with it, and somebody will pick it up and read it. And someday you'll be in heaven, and somebody's going to be walking down the street and say, "Ah, look at there. You were in my restaurant, and you left that gospel tract behind." All right? Why? We neglected it, and it's not common anymore. Number two, Luke 18, verse 1. We have neglected the Bible. To revive us again, we need to get the Bible. We need to get prayer. Luke 18, verse 1. We have neglected prayer. I'm going to speak this morning about prayer during the service. We have neglected prayer. And he, that's Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, it can be annoying. I woke up a half a dozen times for various reasons. Drip, drip, drip. You know, it rained last night. And when you're in that motorhome and you hear drip, drip, drip come down, it sounds like boom, 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 boom. It's just a little drop. I had to go outside. I forgot to close the back door in the basement in the motorhome. And it was teeming rain. I never go outside without a tie on. I have a t-shirt on and a tie. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're in some church's parking lot anyway. And we're getting that there. Now I forgot, why am I telling you this story? Prayer. Yes. Thank you. That's why she rides with me. Prayer. And come back in. And you know, sometimes it's hard to fall asleep. I'm not advocating this because you are the higher echelon of Christianity sitting here. But I know if I pray at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to fall back off to sleep. And I do need to get some sleep periodically. And so if I wake up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12, I usually get a lot of praying done, but it's not all in one succession. Well, that sounds almost wicked to fall asleep. When my mother was alive, she would call me on the telephone and we'd be talking and I'd be. And then I could hear real loud this part. "Georgie, you're not listening to me. Georgie." But she'd rather hear my than not hear me at all. And I'm not advocating that's a way to pray. But something is better than nothing. I can't stay awake. Well, stay awake for enough. God, thank you for the day. I think he would want to hear that. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. Mine, I pray basically every night, every day. And I have indicated it. When she was born, she understood what the Lord said, and she said she wanted brains and not the train. Well, I wasn't too swift. I thought I wanted trains, like Lionel and stuff like that. And so she got the brains, and I got the trains. But we would communicate. Where were they? You know, I'm very open this morning because she said to me, concentrate, stay in one place. Don't go. You know, when you're speaking and you got an idea and you've got the idea written down here and then your mind says, well, go to this other idea. And I thought, no, go to this idea and then go back to that idea and then go over here to this idea. And you do all that, you've got to be a genius to know where you're at. Let me go back to my notes. Stay focused. Stay focused. Neglect of prayer. Jesus spake the parable unto this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray every day. Pray. My point being is that sometimes we don't have time or the capability. You're not graded on your prayer. You're not. You can communicate with God in your best language. I started to tell you about the prayer list that we have. I pray first. I pray universal prayer. If I pray for you, I can't remember your name. I'm just being frank with you. Okay? And you would be highly insulted if you found out how many of you I couldn't say what your name was. Am I going to stop loving you because I don't remember your name? Am I going to stop praying for you? Here you go, Ma. The fella who fixed my shoulder. Okay? If you were to say, if you tell me who that man was, I'll give you $1,000. I couldn't tell you. He's a good friend of ours. Okay? His son is interested in our granddaughter. And I should know his name. But I do not know his name. So I married somebody who would know his name. What's his name?
Jeff Weaver.
Jeff Weaver. Is that the first time I asked you what his name was?
No.
Will it be the last time? No. But am I going to step aside and say, well, I can't remember anybody's name. You know? I know where I'm at. This is Grace Street. But it's really Ray Street without the G. That's respelled my way. But this is, okay. What I'm saying to you is don't stop doing what God wants you to do just because you can't do it like everybody else does it. All right? Didn't we sing that little song just a minute ago? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing. I don't because I'm a good singer, but I sing. I've told you about my Rev Sings Christmas Carols. They had made up 10 years of Rev Sings Christmas Carols. It's now on the market. If you'd like to buy one, see Mrs. Siebel. She doesn't have a change of a nickel, so just don't ask too much. We have neglected prayer. You remember in school we did say the Lord's Prayer? Yep, it was there. Was it from the heart every time it was said? I doubt it. But there were some, and it was planted in the recesses of our mind. Revive us again. We need to get back to the Bible. We've neglected prayer. We have neglected righteous living. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy. We'll go there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We have neglected righteous living. It's interesting in this section, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he has taken the liberty to list, to put in the manifestation of perilous times. And there are probably 19 or 20transgressions that are listed here that the Apostle Paul is trying to say righteous living needs to be part of your salvation experience. Not salvation, but it needs to be part of it. Because you're saved, you live differently. You ever been in the marketplace where somebody's noticed and you say, yeah, you live differently. There's something different about you. And sometimes I wonder, what is it? What's different about you? What might be different about you in the marketplace? Now you're looking at me like, you know, I don't know what. Who? Your dress. Okay. Your attire. What might different be? Come on now. Talk to me. What else might be different? You have Christ in your heart, your speech, your mannerisms, your dress, your styles. We need to be conscious of that. Did you notice here in this verse, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, there are a good number of indictments against those who are not doing what God would expect us to be doing. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be, number one, lovers of their own selves. Anybody give me an example of what a lover of their own self is? Me first? Yeah. Most important person in this crowd is me. If you didn't know it, I'll tell you again. The most important person. No. Where are you on the list?
Last.
And if there's going to be any argument, we're going to fight over who's going to be last. Right? It is always fun to go to a potluck dinner amongst Baptist churches. And if it's just freelance, everybody will run up to be first in line. I know that's not the case here. I can tell by your smiles that this is utopia. And everybody waits for somebody else to go. But in most places, especially with young people, teenagers and so forth, I'm first. Me first. Me first. And so we have that fault. We have neglected proper training. The second one given there is covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. And on the list goes. You ever meet somebody who wants to tell you how great they are? And so we have a list here, and we have neglected annihilating and eradicating our sins. Make any sense? We need to work at it. I'm running out of time, or I'm getting the idea that I'm out of time. This is like, you're running out of time. This is like, you're out of time. Is that right? Everybody's looking at you. She knows sign language real well. You know what that means? See. Did you say I'm crazy? I knew what that meant. How many of you know sign language? That means you're crazy. That means I love you. Revive us again. Just think about some of the things that you have neglected because it's wintertime and we couldn't do what we usually might do or want to do and so forth and so on. Your telephone works on cold days. Your telephone works on cold days. Hey, I don't think I've ever done it. Maybe I have. But you're just sitting there and you look out the window and it's snowing, it's cold and so forth. And you just arbitrarily pick out a phone number and call it. And say, I was just sitting here and you have just, and I just wanted to talk to you about the Lord. And, you know, we had church service and whatever. And just talk to them. Well, they'll hang up on you. But you know what they'll do? They will take that back to work with them and they'll say, you're not going to believe yesterday, but we couldn't go into work and the office was closed. Somebody called me on the telephone and I think they were crazy, but they started talking about their church and they started talking about the Lord. Make any sense? Or you can just sit there and watch the snowflakes come down, but you can watch them come down while you're talking to somebody about the Lord. Now we're cursing the darkness. But it's about time we start lighting some candles once again. In some way, get that candle out. It may only be a candle, maybe a spotlight, might be a burning thing. Heavenly Father, bless these folks. They've been patient. Trust something that was said, something that was read, the Holy Spirit could use. Continue to bless. Send revival to this land. We give you now praise and glory for it. If we ask for it in faith, believing, then it would not be inappropriate, Lord, for us to thank you, even now. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to say thank you. God's going to do it. It's good to say thank you.